The recipe for beauty is to have less illusion and more soul, to retreat from the belief of pain or pleasure in the body into the unchanging calm and glorious freedom of spiritual harmony. Love never loses sight of loveliness. Its halo rests upon its object. One marvels that a friend can ever seem less than beautiful. Men and women of riper years and larger lessons ought to ripen into health and immortality instead of lapsing into darkness or gloom. Immortal mind feeds the body with supernal freshness and fairness, supplying it with beautiful images of thought and destroying the woes of sense which each day brings to a nearer tomb. The sculptor turns from the marble to his model in order to perfect his conception. We are all sculptors, working at various forms, molding and chiseling thought. What is the model before mortal mind? Is it imperfection, joy, sorrow, sin, suffering? Have you accepted the mortal model? Are you reproducing it? Then you are haunted in your work by vicious sculptors and hideous forms. Do you not hear from all mankind of the imperfect model? The world is holding it before your gaze continually. The result is that you are liable to follow those lower patterns, limit your life work, and adopt into your experience the angular outline and deformity of matter models. To remedy this, we must first turn our gaze in the right direction and then walk that way. We must form perfect models in thought and look at them continually, or we shall never carve them out in grand and noble lives. Let unselfishness, goodness, mercy, justice, health, holiness, love, the kingdom of heaven, reign within us, and sin, disease, and death will diminish until they finally disappear. Let us accept science, relinquish all theories based on sense testimony. Give up imperfect models and elusive ideals, and so let us have one God, one mind, and that one perfect producing his own models of excellence. Let the male and female of God's creating appear. Let us feel the divine energy of spirit, bringing us into newness of life, and recognizing no mortal nor material power as able to destroy. Let us rejoice that we are subject to the divine powers that be. Such is the true science of being. Any other theory of life or God is delusive and mythological. Mind is not the author of matter, and the creator of ideas is not the creator of illusions. Either there is no omnipotence, or omnipotence is the only power. God is the infinite, and infinity never began, will never end, and includes nothing unlike God. Whence then is soulless matter? Life is, like Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Organization and time have nothing to do with life. You say, I dreamed last night. What a mistake is that? The I is spirit. God never slumbers, and his likeness never dreams. Mortals are the Adam dreamers. Sleep and apathy are phases of the dream that life, substance, and intelligence are material. The mortal night dream is sometimes nearer the fact of being than are the thoughts of mortals when awake. the night dream has less matter as its accompaniment. It throws off some material fetters. It falls short of the skies, but makes its mundane flights quite ethereal. Man is the reflection of soul. He is the direct opposite of material sensation, and there is but one ego. We run into error when we divide soul into souls, multiply mind into minds, and suppose error to be mind, then mind to be in matter, and matter to be a lawgiver, unintelligence to act like intelligence, and mortality to be the matrix of immortality. Mortal existence is a dream. Mortal existence has no real entity, but saith, "It is I." Spirit is the ego, which never dreams, but understands all things, which never errs, and is ever conscious, which never believes, but knows, which is never born and never dies. Spiritual man is the likeness of this ego. Man is not God, but like a ray of light which comes from the sun, man, the outcome of God, reflects God. Mortal body and mind are one, and that one is called man. But a mortal is not man, for man is immortal. A mortal may be weary or pained, enjoy or suffer, according to the dream he entertains in sleep. When that dream vanishes, the mortal finds himself experiencing none of these dream sensations. To the observer, the body lies listless, undisturbed, and sensationless, and the mind seems to be absent. Now I ask, is there any more reality in the waking dream of mortal existence than in the sleeping dream? There cannot be, since whatever appears to be a mortal man is a mortal dream. Take away the mortal mind, and matter has no more sense as a man than it has as a tree. But the spiritual, real man is immortal. Upon this stage of existence goes on the dance of mortal mind. Mortal thoughts chase one another like snowflakes and drift to the ground. Science reveals life as not being at the mercy of death, nor will science admit that happiness is ever the sport of circumstance. Error is not real, hence it is not more imperative as it hastens towards self-destruction. The so-called belief of mortal mind, apparent as an abscess, should not grow more painful before it suppurates, neither should a fever become more severe before it ends. Fright is so great at certain stages of mortal belief as to drive belief into new paths. In the illusion of death, mortals wake to the knowledge of two facts. One, that they are not dead. Two, that they have but passed the portals of a new belief. Truth works out the nothingness of error in just these ways. Sickness as well as sin is an error that Christ's truth alone can destroy. We must learn how mankind govern the body, whether through faith in hygiene, in drugs, or in willpower. We should learn whether they govern the body through a belief in the necessity of sickness and death, sin and pardon, or govern it from the higher understanding that the divine mind makes perfect, acts upon the so-called human mind through truth, leads the human mind to relinquish all error, to find the divine mind to be the only mind and the healer of sin, disease, death. This process of higher spiritual understanding improves mankind until error disappears and nothing is left which deserves to perish or to be punished. Ignorance, like intentional wrong, is not science. Ignorance must be seen and corrected before we can attain harmony. Inharmonious beliefs which rob mind, calling it matter, and deify their own notions, imprison themselves in what they create. They are at war with science, and as our master said, if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Human ignorance of mind and of the recuperative energies of truth occasions the only skepticism regarding the pathology and theology of Christian Science. When false human beliefs learn even a little of their own falsity, they begin to disappear. A knowledge of error and of its operations must precede that understanding of truth which destroys error until the entire mortal, material error finally disappears, and the eternal verity, man created by and of spirit, is understood and recognized as the true likeness of his maker. The false evidence of material sense contrasts strikingly with the testimony of spirit. Material sense lifts its voice with the arrogance of reality and says, "I am wholly dishonest, and no man knoweth it. I can cheat, lie, commit adultery, rob, murder, and I elude detection by smooth-tongued villainy. Animal in propensity, deceitful in sentiment, fraudulent in purpose, I mean to make my short span of life one gala day." What a nice thing is sin! How sin succeeds! Where the good purpose waits. The world is my kingdom. I am enthroned in the gorgeousness of matter. But a touch, an accident, the law of God, may at any moment annihilate my peace, for all my fancied joys are fatal. Like bursting lava, I expand but to my own despair, and shine with the resplendency of consuming fire. Spirit bearing opposite testimony saith, "I am spirit. Man, whose senses are spiritual, is my likeness. He reflects the infinite understanding, for I am infinity." The beauty of holiness, the perfection of being, imperishable glory, all are mine, for I am God. I give immortality to man, for I am truth. I include and impart all bliss, for I am love. I give life without beginning and without end, for I am life. I am supreme and give all, for I am mind. I am the substance of all, because I am that I am. I hope, dear reader, I am leading you into the understanding of your divine rights, your heaven-bestowed harmony, that as you read, you see there is no cause, outside of erring mortal material sense, which is not power, able to make you sick or sinful. And I hope that you are conquering this false sense. Knowing the falsity of so-called material sense, you can assert your prerogative to overcome the belief in sin, disease, or death. If you believe in and practice wrong knowingly, you can at once change your course and do right. Matter can make no opposition to right endeavors against sin or sickness, for matter is inert, mindless. Also, if you believe yourself diseased, you can alter this wrong belief and action without hindrance from the body. Do not believe in any supposed necessity for sin, disease, or death, knowing, as you ought to know, that God never requires obedience to a so-called material law, for no such law exists. The belief in sin and death is destroyed by the law of God, which is the law of life instead of death, of harmony instead of discord, of spirit instead of the flesh. The divine demand, "Be ye therefore perfect," is scientific, and the human footsteps leading to perfection are indispensable. Individuals are consistent who, watching and praying, can run and not be weary, walk and not faint, who gain good rapidly and hold their position, or attain slowly and yield not to discouragement. God requires perfection, but not until the battle between spirit and flesh is fought and the victory won. To stop eating, drinking, or being clothed materially before the spiritual facts of existence are gained step by step is not legitimate. When we wait patiently on God and seek truth righteously, He directs our path. Imperfect mortals grasp the ultimate of spiritual perfection slowly, but to begin aright and to continue the strife of demonstrating the great problem of being is doing much. During the sensual ages, absolute Christian science may not be achieved prior to the change called death, for we have not the power to demonstrate what we do not understand. But the human self must be evangelized. This task God demands us to accept lovingly today, and to abandon so fast as practical the material, and to work out the spiritual, which determines the outward and actual. If you venture upon the quiet surface of error and are in sympathy with error, what is there to disturb the waters? What is there to strip off error's disguise? If you launch your bark upon the ever-agitated but healthful waters of truth, you will encounter storms. Your good will be evil spoken of. This is the cross. Take it up and bear it, for through it you win and wear the crown. Pilgrim on earth, thy home is heaven. Stranger, thou art the guest of God.